Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen, and you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Our great guest, one of Dr. Oz and my favorite guests. We've had him a number of times because he's so great. He was played by Alex Baldwin in the movie Concussion. So I want to thank Dr. Bales for coming on. He wants to talk to us, and we want him to talk to us about heat stroke. I'll tell you, my episodes are dealing with heat stroke later, but I want him to talk about exertional heat stroke and why it's such a great concern. Dr. Bales, thanks for coming on.
Great to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Tell us, why are you so concerned? Actually, it was in Chicago that I got to take care of my third and fourth cases of heat stroke, but they weren't exertional. They were people who were older and who just developed it because of environmental conditions during the heat waves of, I think it was the late 80s or early 90s. But you're talking about a different entity, high temperature with exercise or activity.
We are, and the other is called classic heat stroke, and that typically affects many times older people and people who have medical conditions. This is exertional heat stroke, and it's caused by physical activity, such as working or exercising outside in hot and humid environments. And people such as athletes, people undergoing training, construction workers, outdoor workers, military, firefighters, all those are at potential risk for exertional heat stroke.
And now you got involved in this because you're involved with athletes in a number of ways, obviously in football, but other sports too?
I did, and it has been, and it remains a concern at every level of play, particularly in high school athletes. And it's the third leading cause of death in high school athletes, believe it or not.
What are the first two?
Well, the first two are cardiac, and then another cause is head trauma.
And so when kids get a little confused on the athletic field, they do double workouts, I guess, in high school for football, and they often exercise outside. What do you tell the moms about this, or what do you tell the coaches?
Well, what we want to do in programs like yours is really emphasizing what the symptoms are and the context in which this can occur. So it's a hot, humid environment. It's ones that are exercising, ones that maybe are not acclimated to the August training session yet. The symptoms initially can be subtle. They can have fainting, dizziness, vomiting, or unusual behavior, aggression, confusion, disorientation. Sometimes it starts with cramps. So this can progress rapidly, and someone has to have a high index of suspicion. And if there's any question, any doubt, in that context would be to call 911 and get that person first out of the hot environment to begin to cool them, but then to get them to an emergency department as soon as possible.
So let's go over that. So this is when there is usually high temperature outside. And by high temperature, it's anything abnormal above the normal. And they're often doing exercise or activity. And then they start to act a little confused or different than normal.
Correct.
And that's the time to have a high index of suspicion. That is, time loss. We often say this with brain injuries, obviously. Time lost is brain lost, but in this case, time lost is life lost. You want to get the child as cooled as fast as possible, which means get them out of the high temperature, not just in the shade, not just fanning them, but get them to a lower temperature environment. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Everything you can do to reduce the temperature, certainly number one is get them out of the environment. Number two is any form of cooling, whether it's ice or whether it's taking off the heavy clothes, whether it's a fan. But calling 911 really is the next thing you have to do to get them to the emergency department so this can be figured out.
And by the way, I do want to say that just for the adults or the classic heat stroke, the same thing. Time lost is bad. At least in now with the athletes, with the older people, they tend to lose total regulation. So you go from high temperatures to low temperatures to high temperatures to low temperatures as you change the environment. Is that true with the kids too? Is it a prolonged battle, or do they keep their regulatory environment once you get them down to normal temperature?
I think once you get them down, they tend to respond to that. We typically say that 104 degrees or centigrade or Fahrenheit or 40 degrees centigrade is sort of the diagnosis of the temperature range that we need. But once you begin to cool them, ordinarily adults respond. So it's not just kids. It can be adults that are athletes or those other occupations that I mentioned.
And how common is what we call serious problems with this? That is, do the after they develop confusion, is it if you wait a certain amount of time, is it you said it's even the third leading cause of death. Is it a problem with disability too? Do they lose brain function more times than not?
Well, they certainly can. We worry about particularly the liver and the kidneys, as well as the brain, as being the three major organs. What happens is that when the temperature reaches a certain point and the body can no longer compensate, there's a cellular inside-the-cell response and cascade that begins, triggered by calcium. And so it becomes a cellular metabolic problem, and that's what you worry about, not being able to get someone back off that ledge metabolically, so to speak. So we think about liver, brain, and kidneys as the target organs that are most commonly affected.
Now, let me go and just ask a couple of baseline questions. We're hearing about the Paris climate problem and, if you will, climate change all the time. Do we worry about heat stroke more because of this as well?
Well, some people have attributed what appears to be an increase in the incidence of exertional heat stroke on rising global temperatures. We believe that the incidence of exertional heat stroke is increasing. And we're discussing it because it's a severe and yet little-known medical emergency.
Now, let me go and when high school kids are practicing, how do you differentiate concussion from just confusion? In other words, is the confusion in both cases, you really want to get them, whether if they're just acting a little abnormal, you want to get them to medical help, whether it's a concussion or this, is that right?
Well, you do. You certainly want to get them out of harm's way, whether it's further head hits or head contact, or whether it's out of the heat. So I think you have to kind of treat them both the same way, and that is they have to be pulled out of action. They have to be cooled down. They have to be the heavy clothes or the uniforms taken off. And then you have to really discern. There are other causes that people can have a heart problem, as you know. They can have exertional drops in their sodium levels. They can have heat exhaustion without having heat stroke. But all these things really are kind of in the purview of 911 and EMS and the emergency department to sort out. So the parents and the coaches and the other athletes have to be aware, and as you said, a high index of suspicion, and to get them out of harm's way, whether that's hitting their head or from the heat, until this can be figured out.
So let me summarize this, and I know you've got an emergency, so I'm going to get you on your way, but it is high temperatures outside, exercise or activity. If they act confused, get them to a cool area until 911 arrives, but call 911 as soon as possible. Try and get them to a cool area and cooling until 911, because this is a life-threatening emergency. Did I get it?
Exactly right.
Dr. Bales, thank you so much, and thank you for all your work on concussion as well. I'm going to just continue in a few seconds and tell my stories about heat stroke. This is elderly people who were in a classic heat stroke area, a couple in Boston and a couple in Chicago where they got too environmentally warm. So what Dr. Bales was talking about was exertional heat stroke. That is heat stroke that has an onset of hours in healthy, active people, often athletes, military recruits, factory workers, and high school football players are common. It's common after intense exertion, particularly if you haven't acclimated, that is acclimated, getting used to the higher temperatures of summer. These people are often moist with sweat. You've got to get it cooled. 104 degrees, that's a life-threatening medical emergency. Get them 911. Stop the exercise. Stop whatever you're doing. Get them to a cool temperature and cooling so they can survive. The classic heat stroke is what you see with elderly people. They're often sedentary, but they don't have air conditioning or something else. Or even if they do a little walking in hot temperatures, they can get this. It's usually hot and dry, and it requires more skill because these people often have medical conditions. And so what happens is their temperature goes from 104, you cool them, they go to 94. You try and heat them up, they go to 102, and it's going back and forth, because their own heat regulatory system has broken down. You've got to stay with them, and they often require hospitalization. Those are the classic heat stroke that I dealt with. But this is different. This exertional heat stroke occurs commonly in otherwise healthy people, and they feel a little odd, a little confused. A little means that's a serious medical problem. Get them to medical help. So this has been You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. That was our guest segment with Dr. Julian Bales. This is the podcast for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is the guest segment, 842. Thanks very much for listening. And Sonar, thank you for great engineering.